Hi, this is Marcus McFarland with the Evening News. It seems that there's a wreck on I-45 North Outer. It's backing up.
And the wreck is my life.
Welcome,
everyone.
Hey, Basics, it's Amy.
It's Travis.
It's Chelsea.
And we have a plus two at our table today.
Whoop, whoop.
It's George.
And Marcus.
And we're the Basic Brunch Cast.
Yeah. And we're actually the Basic Beach Cast.
Yep.
This weekend.
You know how I know we're at the beach?
How?
It's raining.
Because it's raining.
No, because Travis has his chocolate chip cookies.
I have my chocolate chip cookies.
Those are our traditions.
I have my seltzers.
Seltzers.
And well, basically
Travis,
a hurricane.
Travis, you have seltzers everywhere.
Well, yes, that's true. I need them. I have to have them at all times.
Do you need them?
It's a need.
Okay.
I have to have them.
Okay.
And these are so good. These are the punches. You're the one who did this to me. You
we
did
are
this
committed
to, me.
To the Truly Punches. Yep. So
fully plug the punch.
You support
like
them?
Really good.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And it shouldn't be this good.
But you know what I will say about the punches? Remember how we were so into the lemonades when
that's
they first
true.
Came out? And then it just fizzled off, right? Yeah. Like, I don't know if anyone else was into the lemonades. We were honed in on that. And now we don't. So I do think we'll get tired of these. I think we will.
I don't want to get tired of them. I love them.
Well, we brought 4 cases for this weekend. So if we're going to get tired of them,
it's
it will
happening
be
this weekend.
Weekend.
Just don't think about it now.
No.
Yeah. No, yeah. No, not now.
Yeah,
not now.
It, guys, it's alcohol.
Yeah. It's vacation.
Okay. It's what soothes the soul.
You're right.
We are so glad you brunched with us today.
Yes,
this
thank
is the kind
you.
Of support we need.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All day.
Oh my God, thanks.
I don't know if this is awkward, but we call that big dick energy around here.
That's not awkward at all.
Okay, good. So, thank you.
And by we just mean Chelsea calls it that around here.
Oh, okay.
They just call it BDE. Yeah. I just say the words.
Yeah. We're so subtle and classy.
Yeah.
Full
thank
of
you
class.
For bringing that BD to our podcast table.
To the podcast
to
table,
our
yeah.
beverage support. Thank
yeah.
you.
Which I feel like you needed beverage support last weekend.
Oh, we did, Travis.
Oopsie.
When you ditched us.
Well, I didn't. Okay, I
Travis.
Did not ditch you. I
would you two ever ditch us?
No,
at
we
brunch?
Would never. Not at brunch.
Oh. You don't okay. order.
I requested okay. a PTO from that brunch, and you both approved it.
I would never ditch you, but I am a person of urgency. So if you're not on my time,
do you sometimes disappear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Well, okay. No, that's.
When oh, I there was some time.
When,
okay.
When we were in college, I would come visit him at his college. And like, I like to say that I was a world-class roamer.
Yeah.
So I would get just, yeah. you know, super Smash Brothers.
Okay.
And
okay.
disappear.
But he would always come back.
And where were you disappearing to?
Well, that's
was this boys?
Well,
okay. yeah. No. So one time I remember they had lost me and apparently like they like didn't
lost
realize
you.
It.
It was, I think it was like the second or the third time. And we
okay,
were like,
after that, you've lost yourself. Like yeah, we found
they
you already.
Said they like, hadn't realized it.
Well, no, we were like for a second, we were like, well, we were like, where's Marcus? And then we were like, oh shit.
And like, it turns out like I was a pair. I don't remember this, but I was on the stoop of his house.
Yes, you got back home.
Yeah, I got back home. Yeah. I'm a roamer, okay.
but
like I know where to go.
Where were you in the meantime?
Is this like a cat or
that's
a dog?
That's a good question.
Like,
you don't know.
That's
okay.
a good question.
No one knows.
No one knows.
Okay.
Now,
it's a mystery.
I am very like, I'm about like nobody
if
gets
you left were
behind.
With Marcus years ago when he disappeared from his friends, please let us know. We would like to know what he was doing.
Yeah, I would love to know what he was doing.
If you're listening today, one of our 12 followers.
No, we have 15 now.
If you're one of our 15.
In the town of Chapel Hill, yeah. around 20, from anywhere from 2015 to 2017.
Yeah, that's the range. Yeah.
We're being very specific here, and I hope that you all appreciate this.
Yeah, and if you've seen some guy wear like a just a blue beanie, like roaming
yeah, that
around.
Was beanie
was
season.
Was that your look?
Yeah, yeah. it was beanie
okay.
season.
So that's
yeah,
every yeah. guy in Chapel Hill in that time period, right?
Yeah, but not... I made it work.
Okay.
But
okay.
I made it work.
Yeah.
He has a
yeah.
point.
So he exactly. wore a blue exactly. beanie and it looked good.
Yeah. Then we've narrowed it down.
It was good.
Okay. All right. Perfect. So yes, please write in and let us know what Marcus was doing with you because we're curious and he is too yes.
and we can keep your name anonymous when you tell us about the sexcapades
yeah We're going to assume that's what it is.
Sorry. I mean, whatever you guys were doing.
Whatever you guys were doing.
Yeah. Even if it was ultimate frisbee at 2 a.m. Just let me know.
That's a normal thing to do at 2 a.m.
I did next to a yard, a big old like.
At Hartgrave's Park. Yeah. I cried in that park.
You did.
I cried in that park.
You did. Or that was the tennis courts.
So Amy and I were not doing sexcapades, just to be clear.
In college?
Well, in college, maybe. I don't know.
We were in college last weekend. Yeah. We weren't.
Oh. We're talking about this weekend.
Oh, this weekend.
This past weekend.
You didn't have sexcapades?
No.
Your poor husbands. They dealt with you for 14 hours and then no sexcapades? After all that alcohol?
That isn't what we came here to talk about.
We're not talking about the after
party. I'm judging.
Yeah.
We're talking about the day party. There's enough to digest from the day.
Well, I was there for part of the day.
Okay. So
the part where I had to hike to brunch.
Hike.
Tell us about this.
Yeah.
Wait, you had to hike?
We hiked to brunch.
I know. I have never worked out so hard on a brunch walk. My Apple Watch said, do you want to record this as an outdoor walk? Fuck yeah, I do. I'm exercising before brunch.
It was a 2 mile walk.
It was a 2 mile walk.
2 miles.
And we did it in
it is brunch.
And we did it in like 25, 30 minutes.
Oh, wow. Were there deals at this brunch? Is that why you hiked?
No, we were late for our reservation.
Oh, okay.
The deal was we were going to get drunk.
Yeah. That was the deal. Well,
that was the deal. That was the sale. Yes. That was all. Yes.
As a person who talks about health and wellness, I mean, energy expenditure in, energy expenditure out. So you're just doing backwards.
Okay.
Energy expenditure out, but then put energy expenditure in.
I felt good about it, the brunch afterwards because
so basically
of that workout.
We were doing science and math. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was science brunch.
Okay.
Science brunch.
Okay.
Science brunch.
All right, good. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Great. Yeah. So I was there for that part.
So we got there.
Yeah.
We were both wearing the appropriate footwear for this walk. Chelsea was in heels, so I'm glad she wasn't with us for the walk.
Okay, yeah.
It was like a booty type heel type situation.
Oh, it was booties, not heels.
I was worried we had to walk with her later.
Booties with a heel,
I was wearing Vans. I was very ready for this jog. It's
I was in like slip-on shoes.
I thought
they
were
not
slippers. I was like, you didn't wear slippers.
And honestly, the next day at my workout, like I had to do squats and my feet were like killing me. And because they still weren't the most appropriate.
We joked about what clothing to wear to brunch because it was winter and it was Memorial Day weekend. But we all decided to wear winter-ish clothes.
Yeah, we all wore sweaters.
We almost wore our Christmas sweaters, but we held back. We should have. The day could have only gotten a bit more tragic. That would have been it.
I mean, it was a holiday.
It was a holiday, just a little bit blurry. But we did see a man at brunch with an outfit that we need to break down.
Oh, please.
He was wearing overalls, but they were like the workman brown overalls.
Oh, yes.
But he was hipster wearing them. He wasn't coming from work.
I don't think
he was wearing.
Were both things buckled or do you have
both
one
things
thing
are buckled.
Okay, okay, okay.
We're in disagreement about how this man was wearing it. 100%
confident that he was wearing this on purpose. That's not the point. The point is, as girls, when we go out and we wear rompers, we have to pee. We have to take off our entire outfit and sit on the toilet naked because you have to take those down.
Yeah, it's like one thing.
And stalls at bars have cracks, so you have to make eye contact with your bar friends while you're naked on the toilet. That's not great for us, but it's fine. We push through. We realized when we saw these overalls that this guy would have to fully take off his overalls to overall pee.
Not really.
You have the buttons on the side.
This is where Amy and I got confused. Do you pull it out of the side? No. We're confused.
Like
you
a squirt gun situation?
You take the fabric and you pull the fabric over until you unbutton the three buttons down here. You pull the fabric
over until the
penis can release.
Okay, so for our listeners, Travis is giving us a visual without the penis out.
Yeah, I've kept my penis
he's
in.
He's keeping his penis in, but he's trying to explain to us about how the overalls
you, but would you would
work
have to unstrap one strap in order
but it
to
is,
accomplish
I mean, but
this,
that
I
is the, that
comfortably.
Is, overalls are the men's romper.
Probably.
Or the men's romper that is the men's romper.
Yeah, there is a men's romper.
Okay.
I almost bought one.
They're very different too because I just bought overalls.
Okay.
I've been wanting overalls.
Oh, so you have experience.
Yes. Okay. I just bought overalls. I've been wanting overalls for
a while. How do you get your penis out of the overalls?
Well,
he just wants
critical
to tell
questions.
Us. He's new to the podcast. He doesn't want to go right in talking about his penis.
Oh, I'm here
welcome.
For it.
Okay.
Welcome. Hi, welcome. Just tell us about the overalls first, then
okay,
get to the penis part.
Can you wrap this up and get to the penis part?
We do want to hear both.
Oh, my God. Okay. So
Sorry.
Did you bring them for the trip?
Oh, no, I didn't.
He brought
I
his
didn't.
Penis.
It's too hot. It's too
Did
hot.
You bring your penis
well,
to
that,
this trip?
Yes, okay. I can't go without
okay.
it.
Okay, good.
It's the must-have accessory of the summer.
Of the season.
We're a package deal.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
We see what you did there with that word. Okay.
But I bought a pair of overalls. Mm-hmm. And the way that I remember did it as a kid before, because I'm sure every boy has done that embarrassing thing when they were a little kid, when they were just like, I'm just going to take my whole pants down.
Yes,
out of
yes, pants, of course.
Everybody's going to see whole my pants, ass yes. cheeks and everything.
Yes. Yes.
But when I got more experience with that and wearing overalls, I would pull the straps, pull the flap, but hold it and then pull it down
okay.
like it's still pants.
Okay, okay.
But hold it and then hold my Him. Penis and then pee.
And he's like, I'm so glad I came on your podcast to tell you about
like
how you
situation.
Unbutton the side.
Yeah, do you do what Travis does?
The ones that I have now have buttons.
Oh, they do,
but when
not
I was
all
a kid,
okay.
they didn't have buttons. It was literally just you had to just pull them down. Like they were kind of like romper style.
Yeah.
Okay.
But these
do. You have a romper now or just overalls?
Just overalls.
But do you have romper experience, George?
I don't have romper experience. I don't think my body type is like good for
romper. I don't think I'm emotionally
ready.
Honey,
whose body type is good
That's
for
a good
romper?
Point.
Like, I don't really know, honestly. I mean, I have some. I'm like, I don't know if I look good in this, but here we are. And see, the romper.
You look good in them.
Who even fucking cares anymore? I'm wearing it, so body positivity. It doesn't matter if I look good because it's on my body, so. Yeah. But the trick for girls is if you have on the shorts romper, do you know this trick? Do you know the trick?
Do you side pull and pee?
Side pull and pee.
And how does that not get on you?
They're,
or the romper?
You're a pro. You're delicate. You might have to like stop the pee stream like, whoa, you're getting out of control. We got to let that back. Okay.
Point your pee.
So it's also a Kegel exercise while you are peeing.
Yes.
Can I just say, honestly, women and like clothing fashion, y'all are goats. Because like, I just remember like,
I agree.
Just understanding the concept that y'all like squat to use the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, no, that sounds like too much work. I'm going to sit on the toilet. And they're like, why would you do that? Because all we need to do is quickly pee and like that.
Yeah.
And all my friends would always talk about wearing rompers and they would be like, yeah, I just literally just like pull it to the side and then like, you know, take a screwdriver and unscrew everything.
Unscrew it.
And then I have to pull my leg at a 90 degree angle perfectly, you know, make sure it's not an isosceles triangle.
Yes.
I'm like, literally like, what? But then they do it so perfectly.
That sounds so complicated.
One piece bathing suit. Boop. Same situation.
And what's weird is if you look at like fashion history, like your clothing didn't used to be that way. It used to be very accessible to pee. And then like somebody in the 1900s was like,
hated us.
Yeah. I hate women. Let's make this very difficult.
Cover up those vaginas.
To be fair, like it's always, fashion has always hated women.
You can't walk.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I just don't understand.
And heels
concept.
Actually started as a male article of clothing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
The heel hooked into the stirrup of the horses. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a long time ago.
So we basically just threw the patriarchy at women.
Yes, basically. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
As it does per year. Yeah.
Per the huge.
Okay.
Yes. So that's clothing.
Okay, so we saw all these overalls.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, cool, take us back, Amy.
Thank you, Amy.
Then,
this is our breakdown.
Chelsea was sitting next to me, and she said to the waitress, as we're ordering our first brunch drink of the day, she said, Will, and she points to me, we'll have the flight of rainbow mimosas. And I said, I thought that we were getting the bottle of champagne mimosa.
You're a bad lesbian couple.
And we are. And she said, shut up, order both. So I ordered both for the two of us. And then she said, I'm going to get drunk today. We did.
You did. I think we were drunk at the place.
Okay. But like real quick, and I'm not going to stay here. You know why? Because you want to, you know why I'm drunk? Because you want to feed me one of two things. Oh, I'm sorry. One of three things. Every pork product that was ever fucking manufactured
products.
In this state. I don't eat pork. Why does everything on this menu
everything
have
pork?
Everything. I don't understand. Tell us.
Pork is one of the biggest industries in North Carolina
I know,
in
but
agriculture.
It's so and frustrating.
But can we just have
it
some chicken a little bit
to
too?
To just not have any like, access to
which,
being non-pork.
I would say with that is a little bit crazy because like we're also, I think, number two in chicken and agriculture, like poultry.
Oh, so, we could do it.
Like,
it's possible.
you can't, excuse me, if we're number two, you can't make just some chicken sausage? It's delicious. Trader Joe's has it.
Chelsea, did you not get an actual brunch with a side of a piece of grilled chicken? So don't be so.
I know.
She had to make up her own menu item.
And I completely understand, because as a person who studies nutrition and health mm-hmm. and wellness, I get it, because there's so many alternatives people want to have. Mm-hmm. I think it's just the whole idea of, you know, we're taking baby steps. Like, we're on oat milk now. We can now drink the milk from the nipples of oats.
Yes. Like, we can pee in overalls and drink the milk from oats. This is magic.
Oh my gosh. Progressive.
Okay. So that was the sidebar, was just that part of the problem at brunches in general is you're either getting pork.
Chelsea, sidebars of why it's not our fault. All of them. Go ahead. This is why.
Yeah. Because you couldn't eat. That's why you were drunk.
That's true.
Or it's straight up carbs. I'm like, that's not going to be good either. Not a solid option.
And straight up carbs that, at the beginning of the day, just doesn't feel good for the rest of the day.
No.
Because then for the rest of the day, you're like, I'm really full and I don't want to walk this walk.
Until two hours later when we're like, 17 margaritas, please, and all the food.
But those are liquid carbs.
You can't start your day. When you announce at brunch, I'm going to get drunk today. That brunch shouldn't start with French toast. That better have some damn protein in it.
Well, because you're in for the long haul. Yeah. If you're saying we're going for the long haul.
Like,
the long haul.
When I go to brunch, first of all, brunch is like a national holiday for me. Like I brunch
because
brunch is life. And I am always, I guess, strategic about what I get. Because it's like I get a mimosa and I need to get protein and I need to get a fat and I can get a carb because carbs do help.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be all protein. Right. Ooh, maybe this is where I fucked up. Okay, keep going. I'll update you in a moment.
Yeah, I do.
She's
like,
having a light bulb moment.
I'm actually the one who anytime I go to like any type of brunch, I know this sounds terrible, but I'm always getting the sampler kind of brunch mm-hmm. instead of like something specific because it's a variety of things and it also is a variety of nutrients. So that way, like, I don't feel too groggy, but then it doesn't matter because I'm like five mimosas in.
And that's what propels you.
But you know what? I wonder if the brunch, because you live in Charlotte, right?
Yeah.
So I wonder if the brunch there is different because I feel like brunch is either... Okay, so I'm not going to say the full idea on the podcast, but my sister had like a really amazing idea about opening a brunch, late night brunch bar. And I'm like, well, we would know all the things. Mm-hmm. So we need a parking lot so we can think about what the brunch menu needs to include. But I think a key light bulb moment that I've just had here is I only had protein. So I went the wrong way.
You went the wrong route.
I didn't have
any. You literally just had protein on a plate.
Like, I just had a mushroom omelet and it wasn't even regular mushrooms. It was some ones that looked like they were grown in
a
field.
Grilled chicken breast.
But that was followed by three hard coffees. So then you had a batch of alcohol caffeine.
Well, there was some dessert there. I think I had this marshmallow contraption.
So you had coffee and sugar and you're just like going.
Okay, so this is why the mm-hmm. Sunday fun day went the way it was. And I think we, just kidding, I know. we might have harassed Travis. Amy.
Oh, I actually think
this is the second time we owe Travis an apology because.
Second time from that one day?
No, second time in general because Travis has this little problem. Remember this one time when he left us? And then we called him and called him and made him come back to your house.
Yes, yes.
And he was like, this is why I'm gay.
This is why I'm gay. I hate women. What? So every time Chelsea and I act out.
You're going to have to tell this.
For example, we make Travis come in dressing rooms with us.
Bad things. We're naughty girls after brunch.
We harass him to come home and hang out with us. We make him leave his friends. He goes, reason number 1,000,000 why I'm gay.
But I love you.
You don't want to be in a relationship with you.
But guess what? You're kind of in a relationship
with us. I'm kind of in a relationship with you.
And you see how tough it is.
Yeah. I would like to, just real fast. Okay. I would like to play
okay.
the voice.
Do we have to play the voicemail?
We must.
So I want to play you the voicemail. And I real fast want to let you know what time you called me.
We started brunch at
12:30.
Brunch was at 12:30.
Yeah.
Don't say it yet. Me and Amy are going to guess what time we called you.
That's good. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Because I asked Adrian this morning, I said,
where were we when we called?
Travis, I asked Adrian this morning. I said, okay, quick. Hold on. Filling in the listeners.
Our husbands were with us.
Amy and I's husbands.
My husband doesn't drink.
Amy's husband was not drinking that
much. He told us he had a lot of water so he wouldn't get too drunk. Oh, husbands.
Meanwhile, they're just letting us get obliterated.
They're just like letting you play.
There is a video of me saying, the husband said we can have one crazy day. We're going to get fucking crazy. Well, why did I record myself saying that?
They said today's
the day. While I'm in the backseat of a 4Runner. It's dark.
And I'm saying to Amy, you can't put this video on our podcast page. She's like, it's on my own personal page.
No, it's not. It's on our podcast page.
It was definitely on the podcast
page. Yeah.
Hey, listeners. Hey, okay, that was me.
So I tried to get the intel from Adrian about the details. He said, you actually tried to contact Travis a lot, so I'm not sure what which time you're speaking
of. I think it was after the first time we went to Person Street.
Okay.
Because I know that we thought he should have been there.
Yes.
To intervene. So after Person Street.
For sure.
We went to.
We call them at Cortez. That's my guess.
So I'm guessing Cortez.
Okay. Well, I'm going to play it.
So we're going to time guess it. I'm guessing 8 o'clock.
I say 9:15.
Okay.
Tell us.
I'll tell you after I play it.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Ooh, this is going to be good.
All right. You guys react.
Okay.
This is like one of those react videos.
Yeah.
Okay.
Travis, it's your boo, Amy. You sent me a voicemail for the first time ever. I needed your advice, but I guess we cannot get that. So she's going to go to the heat class with her friend Gabriel. Stay tuned to our podcast to find out more.
We don't know if he's Gabriel or gay.
Gabriel. We don't know.
I'm gay.
Gabriel.
Also, love that.
Thank you for Amy and I's podcast to find out more. Bye. Don't you know what? Bye.
Okay. Well, can you just replay that one more time? Wait, we won't have to put both in.
I really just want to say really fast my reaction. So, first off, it's 8:52 p.m.
Like, oh, that's good. That was good. Who said 9? Who said 9?
I said 9:15.
Okay.
Not, I this is behavior at midnight. Not at 8:52 p.m.
But when you start with brunch, though.
Way like, worse by midnight and saying way worse things to way more people.
I also don't understand anything you said because there's context that needs to be around that voicemail and I don't know any of the context. The only context I could figure out was you're hugging a gay man in one of our stories.
Gay.
And I saw that.
Gay. Okay.
Wait a minute. I figured that's Gabriel.
Okay. That's me. I'm like, let me start.
This is what I tell you what happened.
That's who I would be too.
Because in that story, she says, there's a gay man here and you should be here, Travis.
Okay,
and your response is, this is why.
Travis.
This is why I'm not married to either of you.
Let me back this up.
Okay.
I made a gay straight friend at the bar.
A gay straight friend.
I made a gay friend at the bar.
Uh-huh. She thought.
He came with his boyfriend.
Okay.
He walked up and goes, excuse me to Chelsea. Your sweater is perfection. I love your outfit. Oh my God, you are everything this winter in the summer. I love it. I love this. It's great.
Okay, tracks.
And
let's
he's like, I'm doing dark denim on dark denim today because it's so hot out.
And my ex-wife lives on the third floor of my house.
Wait. So okay, we go in all of this. He goes to my gym, I find out. So I'm signing up for workout classes with my new gay friend.
Oh, no. Okay. Don't do that.
I'm asking him if I can have a job where he works because I want to do what he
does.
We
think he's rich. We think he's rich, actually. Right. So we're going.
So we're trying
to
learn.
You're so rich. Yeah. You're so rich.
Oh, my God. So now we want free things from our friend. Okay.
He has money.
And then,
thank God I wasn't here.
And then he
tells us. The universe
was
like, Travis, you've got to go.
You've got to leave.
You've got
to Travis, get out now.
Get out.
Hold the mic. Ex-wife lives upstairs. Oh. I was like, we have to go. Here's the other part of this that I don't think Chelsea might have thought through yet.
Okay. What? Say.
I thought through this while I was up at 3 a.m. canceling said gym class.
She was going to go to a 10 a.m. gym class.
I came back.
Oh, man.
I was still shaking at 10 a.m., just to clarify. I came back.
Look at Marcus's face.
He came back to our little squad, our husbands and Chelsea.
Our squad. It's our husbands.
Are your husbands.
Your husbands are your squad.
Our gay friend is not gay. And I start telling Chelsea his name, what I found out about him, so she can find his information out. She's looking up his Facebook, researching his whole life, and they are the table next to us, I now realize, and we're like, he's not gay, he has a 9-year-old child, his wife lives upstairs, he lives in Raleigh, his profile is private, are loudly discussing everything about this man at the table next to him, in detail,
You stop the music, you get on
and
the
I'm
table.
Like, we have to call Travis, he's gay, we need him to come here and confirm for us.
So we're in front of this guy.
You're like,
no.
Voicemail makes sense now.
I have a thought.
Okay.
I have a thought as well after
we
your thought.
We would like to hear that.
Yeah, I have thoughts.
You lost me at dark denim on.
Actually, Chelsea's husband said, did you see his shoes? Because he's not gay.
Because let me tell you something. No self-respecting gay man would wear denim on denim.
Oh, wait. First, I do have denim on denim sometimes.
Dark?
We'll accept it. We'll accept it.
Not dark.
Not like
no.
this, though. Yeah. Not
I
like
have,
this.
I have a very pale, like almost white denim button up that's like the snap, like almost cowboy-ish.
Oh, no, no, no. Yeah, like, Western like denim shorts. With, yeah, like, with, no, like, no, 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 no. That's shorts. Different. I'm talking like, okay. I know exactly what he's wearing.
Okay.
And
it's a jean jacket. It's a denim jean jacket.
On top of denim.
We are, yes. We are not. We're,
and his this boyfriend is, not, is wearing Timberland. The same exact combo. Yes.
Are we sure?
It's not Wyoming.
Yeah,
this
well, that's
not
true.
Wyoming.
We're not, yeah. His not Brokeback Mountain. Don't
had been
do
at brunch with us because you don't leave people like someone does. You would have corrected me on the spot.
Okay, so, and well, also, do you remember that his quote unquote boyfriend, not his boyfriend, I don't know. Was this your son? We don't understand.
Yeah. What did this man
wait,
look
like?
What was the boyfriend?
Say it was his boyfriend.
No.
Okay. I automatically was like, this gay guy loves Amy. And then halfway into their conversation.
No, it was a straight guy who was just hitting on Amy.
Amy's like, oh, let's go to the gym together. At one point, what does he say to you? There's something that he says that has left my brain. You know how I get, but he's like,
well, you were drunk.
All I know is, why is your husband
all
still here?
I know something. Is, Ty said, did you get a little jealous that Travis left you for his kickball league so you thought you'd make a new gay best friend and he was straight?
Thank you, Ty.
I was like, maybe, I'm sorry.
Oopsie.
All that I had in my mind during this time was, okay, you know yeah, that one tell song us. In High School Musical that's like, no, 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 stick to the stuff you know. Stick to your friend Travis.
Yeah.
And not some...
No, 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 no.
I don't try to convince people to do workouts at 10 a.m.
Travis, just send us home. We send just you home.
Just send us
in,
home in a
we
car.
We send you home in a car. You say, girls, go. You need to go home. We
would
don't
you have
make
listened
you...
to me?
No.
Okay.
We know we wouldn't have because Adrian pulled into my driveway to drop Ty and I off, and Chelsea and I threw a tantrum until he pulled back out of the driveway and took us back to the bars. So your thought is no to the denim on denim. What was your reaction to our pathetic life existence?
The first thing I loved was that, Amy, you were still plucking the podcast.
I was like, she better plug.
And Chelsea actually got mad because she goes, did you notice that we mentioned the podcast to him two times and he didn't care?
Yes.
Let's go.
And that should have been your That's first valid. Clue that he That's was a valid. Straight man.
Yeah. He didn't care about a brunch podcast.
He didn't care about a brunch podcast. Yeah. No, okay. That is a heterosexual. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. No.
Well, no wonder your wife left you and moved upstairs.
See, yeah, if we were there, we'd have scattered.
Well,
we'd be like, no.
Okay, no. Okay, if I was there, you would have definitely known that I would have known that he was a straight man because I would have been so over him because that's how I am with a lot
that's
of straight
how,
men.
Okay.
I
get, I'm like, goodbye.
Literally, like.
Yeah. And by the time we went back to the Person Street bar, this is Amy. I don't know what drinks we ordered. Who knows? Who fucking knows? I don't know. We're pretending like we're friends with the bartenders. These motherfuckers are like, we don't know you. We're not your normal bartender. Here's Amy. Do you run the social media for this bar? Do you run the social media? Who runs the page? Is it you? Yeah. Is it your boss? Is he here? Is he here right now? Well, where is he? Does he share
does
a lot
he look
of things?
Like?
What does he look like? I'm like, Jesus Christ. Amy, we have to get our drinks, honey. Like, at this point, I'm
Amy.
Like, on,
oh,
like, Amy is the podcast
to the
promoter.
Brand. I'm here for us.
I'm
when
here
she's
for you.
Drunk.
I'm here
she's
for
like, share my
I'm
fucking story.
Yeah. You remember when Lady Gaga made that Facebook post about how people made fun of her in high school?
Yeah.
Hey, Raleigh Bars, I am here to
You're
promote
Stephanie us. You're Stephanie
yeah. I'll Lady Gaga the shit out of this podcast.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Okay. She's just doing marketing, and I have to give it.
She's doing marketing on all fronts. Every time is marketing. Yeah.
Say the two people who didn't see this.
We're assuming
she wasn't embarrassing. She was just a little aggressive.
I will also say this, though. Take all of what we're saying with a grain of salt because we're out of control as well.
Oh, okay. Absolutely.
We're absolutely what out of control.
Tell us an example.
Please tell us.
Do you
us.
Have voicemails?
Do we have voice? We probably deep do. In the recesses.
You probably like deleted those.
Yeah, we
You're
probably
like,
had a moment.
Travis,
we
meanwhile,
like, no.
Travis is going to keep this for the rest of our lives.
Okay. Every video that I had on my phone from that night, I did delete right away before watching them.
Oh, I didn't. I'm like,
So I have.
What videos did you have? Hold on. Sorry, just real quick.
We can look later. So tell us.
She said she deleted them. She just said
they're in the deletes. I didn't double delete them.
Okay.
Okay.
I just wasn't ready
for
it.
We'll rescue them from the trash.
Okay, so tell us about your wild night.
Yeah, we want to hear about you.
Well, I just remember this one that, like, I reflect to George many times in our life was when this had to be, like, a year out of college.
Oh God, and, rough times that was.
We were back home and we were like, we went out to go drinking because we thought we were like cool.
Oh, is this the hula hoop situation?
The hula hoop
fantastic, fantastic.
Oh, I love that it has a name. The hula hoop situation.
Okay, continue.
So like, we're having a good night, but then like the bars are like pretty much about to close.
Yeah, it's like 2 a.m. Yeah. But and we're not ready.
We understand.
We get it.
So we're driving.
Like the night is young. It's 2 a.m. Yeah. Like there's after parties.
Yeah.
So we're driving down this road and I just like saw this. We saw this girl who was like hula hooping in a front yard.
This random white woman hula hooping in a front yard.
Okay. It like literally glowed in the dark. Yeah. It was like, and of course me and my tipsy brain, I'm just like, oh my God, this is fast of fucking nating.
And I'm driving and I'm like, we have to go talk.
Yeah,
to
I literally was like, George, we need to meet this girl.
And I'm like, but absolutely.
But you know, that's good energy. You're hula hooping with your glow in the dark hula hoop at 2 a.m. in the morning. You had to stop.
She is minding her business. She's minding her business hula hooping.
Winding her waist.
Absolutely. Yeah. Literally.
Okay. But like, so we go up to this girl and we're just like, oh my God. And she just invites us.
We saw your hula hoop. Yeah. Like, you're amazing. Like, you're the best ever. Like, what are you doing? Like, who are you? Actually, doing those questions.
Yeah, and her all of them invite us in. At one point they were talking shit about her roommate. Her roommate
after work.
And so
we've been there for like 45 minutes to an hour. Right. Okay. We've met all the roommates.
Have you hula hooped yet at this point?
No, we didn't do it at all.
That was just the entrance.
But she was outside by herself. Yes. So when you're talking about there were other people in the house. Okay.
And so like, you know, we're hanging out and then we leave. It was like whatever. We were like, oh my God, this was such an amazing night. And now I look back on it. I think like maybe last year I brought it back up to you and I was like, George, what in the absolute
like that is
fuck?
Reckless. That we don't reckless. Know
that's
them.
Actually
we don't...
how you get kidnapped and murdered.
No, truly.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Absolutely.
We just walk into this house. We just like don't know these people. We don't. This woman is
how old were you?
23.
Oh, okay. I was almost murdered many times. Okay.
You're in there. You're like, these are my new best friends.
I love them. I've known them
it's
forever.
It's an adventure.
13 minutes.
Right.
Yes.
There's a zebra in the pool at the house that we were at.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's fine. Totally
everything,
fine.
Yeah,
everything
it's
is fine. Okay.
This nothing about this is weird.
I like Tina Turner.
Yeah.
And now that we're older, it was just like weird. So I was just like,
but here's what I'll say. We just came out of a year of a pandemic.
We did.
Guys, it was traumatic.
Well, their situation was before the pandemic.
Oh, I'm just
this
going
was
to
just
say
they're you.
These are the kind of situations, though, that we're just going to have to expect for a few months. Okay.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
We're transitioning
like
back.
The hula hoop might happen again now in the 30s.
I'll just say, yeah,
absolutely, it could totally happen.
The transition's not occurring with grace.
Yeah, it's a little rough.
We're not fully acclimated.
Yeah. We're excited. Right. We're excited. We're getting back.
So the food just got here. The DoorDash person just texted me.
And you know what? Based on last week's incident,
probably should have food.
We need to eat that food.
Also, our husbands are sitting outside.
Oh, I don't care about that.
Oh, I felt bad for mine that he might be hungry.
Oh, you are so nice.
And I felt bad for yours.
I thought you meant like they should be supervising us after last weekend. What are they doing out there?
No. I don't need supervision.
They're not doing their jobs.
They're not doing their jobs.
Yeah. Okay, so they need to get to work.
Yeah.
And we'll eat.
And we'll eat. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, and we'll be right back. All right.
You're right back.
So we're back?
Yep.
And I feel like we maybe haven't said we're at the beach?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, because we said it was raining. Okay.
How much have you had to drink?
Oh, no. The water's not working.
Oh, no. Well, that's not.
This is water.
Okay.
Okay. We're back.
We're back. And before we really get started, Chelsea put these gummies in front of us, these gummy bears.
Yeah. Okay.
That are flavored.
Not Vibey Vibe gummies.
Not Vibey Vibe gummies. Just gummy bears. But they have fun flavors that are not normal for gummy bears. Mm-hmm. And I thought it'd be fun if we each tried one really fast and just told what we thought it was.
Okay.
And then you tell us if we're right.
Okay. So these are all supposed to be different drink flavors?
Cocktails, yep. Yeah.
Okay. So like one could be a margarita, right? Is that the right mindset?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to try one of these brown ones because I feel like it's going to be something like Diet Coke and vodka. And that's what I'm currently drinking.
Okay. Or like a rum.
Or L-I-T.
Okay.
I was thinking it was going to be like a...
Root beer
gummy float.
Okay. I was thinking rum and Coke. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay. Okay. All right. I thought it was going to be real.
It is Coke.
Okay.
A cola.
Cocaine.
Okay. No. Hand those over.
Yes.
Coca-Cola. Lime. So it has to be a rum and Coke because there's lime in there.
Oh, it has to be a rum and Coke.
Yes, it is, of course.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Whatever. That's a really good gummy bear.
Okay, you go. I know. Well, it's just
are there only orange, red, green, or this white one?
I think there's a darker orange, maybe. Like, there's two different colors.
It does look like there's two oranges.
One is pink and one is orange.
I'm going to try this lighter. I think this is a light
pink one.
Okay, I think I know which one that is.
I hope this is either a Paloma or Rosé.
Okay.
Or a Sea Breeze.
I hope not.
Basically, Paloma, just vodka instead of...
Oh, I thought the Sea Breeze was those little canned wines. I have no idea.
You don't know what the flavor is?
You know, because Amy doesn't like sweets, so she's like, this is so much.
You're just like, this is sweet, and it's just sweet.
Okay, so
tastes like watermelon.
Okay, so it's either Champagne Rosé. So now no one else can probably have it.
That's probably what it was.
Okay, that is what it is.
Okay, and there's one other flavor.
Okay, I bet it was pretty
subtle and neutral.
Okay, I feel like that's it. When I take my Vibey Vibe gummies, they're mimosas flavor.
Yeah.
Marcus, your turn.
What if I surprise you with one in there?
Ooh,
I think this one's going to be a surprise.
This is pina colada. It tastes like pina colada and getting caught in the rain.
I thought so. Well, we are the rain.
And if you're not into yoga.
That's not in the list. Do you think your taste buds are broken? Do you think it's gin and tonic?
See, I think that this one without sugar is gin and tonic. This yellow one, right? Because there's two different.
Oh yeah, there are two kinds.
So maybe I just don't have this pina colada in my photo. Because the way they describe the gin and tonic, just as light and refreshing as the cocktail, notes of citrus and juniper berry will make you want an entire glass of gummies. I don't think that's it.
I just say this too. It's definitely not a gin and tonic.
Okay, so it's pina colada.
Know what a juniper berry is.
Oh, it's from like a fir tree.
Oh.
And it's the little blueberries.
Oh, okay. Oh, no. Now I know
what it is. So it's not that. Okay.
No, it's not that.
All right.
It tastes like pina colada or something with pineapple.
Okay. So I don't have that in my key.
Yeah. I can't figure out what that is.
So, George.
Okay. I'm going to go for this green one.
I feel like that's going to be good.
I was thinking margarita.
It's got to be margarita, right?
Right.
That'd be weird if it's not.
It might be an appletini.
That's true.
I think it's one of two choices.
Chelsea, you are so good at this game you brought. Yeah. Thank you.
I love that you're about to try one and you've read all the names.
Well, I can smell it.
This doesn't taste like margarita.
I can smell it.
Do you think it tastes like mint?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Is it a mojito?
There it is.
That is a mojito.
That's a mojito.
I could just smell
that's
it
good.
Next to me.
It exploded with
flavor. So what one hasn't been taken? This one?
The orange one. The dark orange one. And that one.
The gin and tonic or the orange, dark orange.
Okay, let's see. That mint is kind of like...
Yeah, got a little tingle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it a mimosa?
No.
Vodka orange juice? What is that? Fuzzy navel?
Is it also not in your key?
Screwdriver. Fuzzy navel has peach schnapps in it. No vodka, which is boring.
Oh, you know what that one is? Irish cream.
What?
Oh.
The one that I just tried. The
orange?
It wasn't orange. I did this.
Oh.
I thought you did dark orange.
Oh, the non.
No, I did that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Non-sugared.
What is this orange
yellow.
One?
Okay. So that was it. That was cute. My sister got those for us.
Oh, those are cute.
The orange one is orange something.
Hold, please.
These are dangerous. I would actually probably just eat the whole bag.
Yeah.
Mai Tai?
Yeah.
The rum and Coke one is good.
Yeah, that one is really good. I'm like, can I have a whole bag of just rum and Coke gummies?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you can.
Oh, okay.
From this store.
And you can.
And you can. I think we tried all of them, although I don't think anybody tried a gin and tonic.
To be this one that you tried first and then I tried it after you.
That did not taste like a gin and tonic.
I would not consider that a gin and tonic.
Well, I don't want a gin and tonic gummy, so maybe they just like.
Only because like anytime I drink a gin and tonic, like gin and tonics are so astringent when I taste it, it's so like sharp.
It's and that tonic piece. Yeah. It's just, yeah, so
and it
much.
Tasted so much like pineapple.
Okay, so we can keep munching.
Yeah. All right. Also, we're here for other reasons. I mean, we've had so much fun chatting with you about just random stuff, but we wanted to talk to you about some more serious things because sometimes we get serious on this thing. And Marcus, earlier you were talking about food and like you started to talk about a little bit about pork, but I feel like there's a reason you were talking about that.
Well,
and that you knew that information.
Right, right. And I guess for the past couple of years, I've been doing a lot of learning about agriculture, especially here in North Carolina, and just learning about just how important like our food system is in North Carolina and just in general the world. And I think that it's just fascinating to learn and get to connect with like a lot of the farmers, connecting with a lot of rural farmers. I've seen a lot of the stress and anxiety that goes into agriculture and feeding or supplying like feed products for animals, which we end up consuming. Mm-hmm. And it's stressful. There's a very big mental disparity into it for farmers. And it's like, this is an ongoing issue. Like, and so I think that's a lot of what I think about with that. But another thing that I was thinking about with all of this was just the whole thing about food access and food inequality.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things that I've learned, especially like through college and in my experience of just volunteering and everything and working, is that especially in a lot of the bigger cities, there can be issues with food and a lack of access to food for some neighborhoods, especially low income neighborhoods, which tend to be the neighborhoods that have the people of color in them. And one example of that is in my hometown right now. There's a few neighborhoods. Right now, Charlotte is going through, I'm from Charlotte, and it's going through a lot of gentrification.
Yeah.
And it's going through a lot of issues.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's
rampant.
It's because like we're a big banking capital. We're like a lot of people are like comparing us to like Atlanta and like being like, you know, on the up and up, like everybody's trying to move to Charlotte. And
but Atlanta's full of culture, so keep that in Charlotte.
Right. And that's what's really hard with everything, because one of the things that I was thinking about a lot is the fact that, you know, I'm seeing a lot of new houses, you know, being built, new apartments to bring in younger folks. I'm also seeing a lot of the neighborhoods that my family has lived in. One example is my grandma. Her neighborhood is becoming very gentrified. And I'm noticing with that, you know, there's, for those neighborhoods that are becoming gentrified, you'll see a lot more access to foods. You'll see a lot more grocery stores. You'll see a lot more attention being made to making sure those people have access to foods. And that's because it's typically more higher income folks in those neighborhoods. A good example of that right now is that they're doing the roads near my grandma's house. They're making more bike lanes so people can bike through them. Mm-hmm. But then I think about the west side of Charlotte, where there are fewer grocery stores, and it's become a little bit difficult for folks in those areas. And like I said, that's parts of West Charlotte are very low income, filled with people of color who may have to drive or not have adequate transportation to get to a grocery store. And there's not a lot of grocery stores on that side of Charlotte, would you say, George?
Which is crazy because there's grocery stores everywhere. So that's really disheartening that there's not grocery stores on that side of town.
Just as a question, when you're talking about access to food, are you talking about access to like not Whole Foods the store, but like Whole Foods, like fresh vegetables, fresh fruit and things like that. Like we're not talking about packaged processed products. We're talking about actual healthy things that people should have in their diet.
Exactly. There is, I always say that when it comes to like food access, it's not necessarily that we don't have food. We have fast food stores. We have convenience stores that have food in them, but are they going to supply you with the adequate nutrients and nutrition that's going to make you be a functioning person in society? And, you know, a lot of the times I see a lot of folks go quickly to, you know, in those areas, go quickly to what's convenient. And I understand like that is what you're used to. And the problem is with that is that what needs to happen is there needs to be a bigger focus on how do we help them get better access, whether that be adding better transportation that connects more to grocery stores. Or another thing is there was an initiative with a person that I used to volunteer with in our community who they were trying to get fresh fruits and vegetables and just kind of simple items like milk and all that kind of stuff into convenience stores, which are
dollar stores and things like that, because dollar stores go into these areas and force grocery stores to not even have a space to too open and don't provide any fresh foods at all. And that, honestly, I know that legislation is really hard to get past, but like that should be something that should be blocked. Like you shouldn't be allowed to force out healthy food for processed food.
Well, that's just like the example of the systemic disinvestment in Black and brown community. Yeah. It's that access, but it's also like if on a like larger level, on like a legislative level or like municipality level, if we were investing in these like Black and brown communities and like putting a grocery store there and like stabilizing housing and putting transportation and making sure schools were funded, like if you did all the steps, you would have the results also of people having access to food. Yeah. But that takes like a full scale investment.
Yeah.
It takes a full scale of investment. And I think it also takes a brutally, like sometimes when it comes to like situations like where people are at a council meeting that, and I've gone to some of our city council meetings, and it's just people will look there and be like, but what do we do? Like, this is such an issue and we've tried this and that. It's like, no, you know what the answer
is. You know what the answer is.
You know exactly what the answer is. You just don't want to do it because you know that that is, well, one of the things I think about is a lot is white supremacy. That's one of the big things.
White supremacy.
Exposes the fact that there is white supremacy that still exists to this day and how there's systemic racism still existing today that really affects the success of this generation and the next generation of folks who are low income, who are typically people of color. And another side thing that I'm going to say about that too is that this isn't just an urban issue. This is also a rural issue. Yeah. You know, I think a lot about some of those rural towns that I've always visited and they've only had a Dollar General. Or, you know, sometimes they may have a food line, which is great. And that's going to be like a supplier of grocery stores. But there's some towns literally that they have just a Dollar General. Yeah, and that's where people get their food. And if they don't, they have to drive to the next county. I know that there are some counties in North Carolina where they have to drive to the next county to get an adequate grocery store. It's really frustrating. It's really disheartening because this is something that really affects everybody. And I feel like we're not putting much attention to it. And I think it's because people are, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I think that like a lot of our legislators who typically tend to be majority white are really, I don't know if they're afraid. I don't know if they are lazy. I don't know if they just,
I think,
you know,
they don't care.
They don't care.
They don't care. They're not going to, they don't care. So they won't put in the work.
Yeah, they don't care.
But then
because it's not affecting them.
Right.
They're living their lives the way that they want to live their lives.
Because there's a societal effect, but not to them.
Right. But then they will still say these statements of, we hear you, we listened. And it's like,
sounds good, right?
I'm more like, listen, cut the bullshit. Right. If you don't care, don't, you know.
It almost, it would actually almost be better if you would just get up there and be like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, don't
I'd
perform.
Almost respect you a little bit more if you would just say the truth.
Well, it's the performance, like the performance of progressive politics is what drives me absolutely insane. Yeah. It's just like, the performing of it, we're listening. It's like almost like the word listening or doing the active listening has been like co-opted or like made into this trendy thing. Like, we're doing active listening. Yeah. It's like, no, you're not.
No. And what is that? Like, no, if there's actually no action following up.
Exactly.
Past
if you're
listening.
Actually doing active listening, there will be action and there will be change. Because if you're actually listening, you're listening to be changed. But people just do the performance of it because they're like, okay, I can sit here for an hour and hear this community yell at me, or they interpret it as yelling at me when actually the community is giving like straight up facts and the reality of the situation. Right. And then they can go home and they don't have to worry about it.
So I think too, because we know they're not going to do anything, then one thing I would be curious to understand is, even though it's not the community's quote unquote responsibility, because we've talked about this before, like somehow the rich people don't have to do anything and then we just all help each other amongst the middle class and below, right? So we are going to do that in the middle class. What can people do on a day-to-day basis? People, the community is there to an extent. So what can other people that might not be in this community do to like help these situations and contribute in a positive way where the legislation won't?
Right. I think it's honestly just what George says. Instead of the BS of saying active listening, actually do the work into researching and learning how our food system is made up here in North Carolina, and really work with organizations that do a lot of these things, like food banks and food policy councils. There's a lot of food policy councils springing up in different counties to work with and kind of learn from and see like what our food system looks like and how we can improve on it. And I see a lot of really good things happening within the food industry system in Charlotte. Because a couple of years ago when I, you know, graduated college and I was looking for a job and I wanted to work kind of in that realm, mm-hmm. this whole like food advocacy thing was just getting started and everybody was just like, oh my God, we have a food issue. I don't know what to do about that. But now it's becoming like there's more people who keep growing and growing and learning. Like I know folks who do mobile markets who help to get vegetables maybe that could be in farmers markets that are kind of in one location that yeah. may be difficult to go to. Mm-hmm. They drive those things to those communities that okay. really need it.
When I'm listening to things like this, I try to hone in on these specifics that I can really like actually, even as a small human in the greater picture, make a difference. So like those types of things, do they need donations from people to be able to do those things? And is that something that's the average person can donate to? Like I can donate money so that you've got the gas to get to the places that you need to go. Mm-hmm. Like is that something that is needed or is that something that's helpful?
I think that would be something that would be helpful, but I'm not sure if we've gotten there yet, to be honest. Like, I think that really there's just a lot of groundwork. And I think it's more of a bigger issue than just, mm-hmm. like, getting people money for gas to, like, drive there.
No, okay. Of course, yes.
But that is a great idea because that's, like, one of those things. It's honing in on the idea of transportation. Yeah. We mm-hmm. really need to figure mm-hmm. out transportation.
Transportation, yeah.
So, like, you know, I think of, like, my city right now that is working on transportation, like, doing more light rails.
Yeah.
And I think that going to these meetings and going to these city council meetings and being like, hey, the route that this bus is going or this neighborhood, it has a bus route, but I was thinking maybe we could make it so it goes more towards grocery stores, more towards food sources where those people can have better access to get those food sources. You know, things like, it's just like small things like that.
And
just
so
being
like,
an advocate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's such a buzzword too. So I even hate to say it because it's like, oh, I'm an advocate. I'm an ally. Those, you know, in all different facets. That's why I think these examples, at least for me, just listening to it from a first time kind of hearing and understanding perspective, that's helpful to know being an advocate isn't just a buzzword. Here's the actual things that you
steps
can do.
And the actions. Steps. And then also like being an advocate, you can do it on the like ground level and on the systemic level. Cause like what you were saying, Travis, what you were saying about, is that like good? Is that helpful? Like it is helpful. Unfortunately, like the bigger problem, like the systemic problem has to be changed before so many of the things that we do now are like band-aid issues, which is also necessary because like you need a band-aid to cover up.
Because it's almost like it is like you were saying a minute ago, Chelsea, like you've got these people who are in charge of making the rules, the legislators. And if they're not fixing it, then the community has to like rise up to use the community uses band-aids. We all sit around just putting band-aids on everything. Like I'm here to help. I'm trying to help you. Right. I hope these people will actually do their job and like make things better.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing too about the, like going back to the listening thing, because actually there's such a power of even like, not even just jumping in and being like, what can I do? What can I do?
Yeah.
But even just like listening to like the abundance of the ghost communities that are there. Cause a lot of the times these like black and brown communities, whether it's food, housing, living, just surviving, you know, because the people in power historically have disenfranchised these communities, have disinvested in these communities, have siloed these communities together so that there is not economic mobility. You know, our communities, you know, speaking black and brown communities, our communities have had to, and the queer community, have had to create our own systems that are outside the current system.
Yeah.
So there also is a power of like kind of listening to that and being like, oh, okay, this community, like, because no one has like helped you out or like just actually treated you as humans, you've created this type of food system. You've created this type of system of some people garden and then give food to other people and looking out. You have created a social network. You've created a system of organizing and justice. In all of these communities that exist, there's so much like abundance there of what people have already done that are like systems against the system. So, but like, I always think like, what does it look like, one, to listen to that and be a part of that? But how do we like base our new larger like system, whether that's government, economic, whatever, based on like this, the countercultural systems that have already come because they were disenfranchised? And how do we rebuild that? Because the current system doesn't work. So I think it's a both. There's gonna be so much great work that can actually come from doing with and kind of like stepping back for a second and learning what the current systems of not only resistance, but sustainability have been in these spaces.
And I think two big things that I'm just going to say really quick, that's really important, is rebuilding that trust within that community, because these communities have been downtrodden their whole lives.
Yeah.
And also when it comes to these systems that these people build, kind of really just look at the perspective and don't underestimate these people. Because I think a lot of the times, especially in communities of color, I have always heard in when I was young and always learned in school, this whole idea of people in these communities of color saying that they're lazy or saying like, well, why don't they just do it this way? I don't understand. And yeah. it's like, you don't understand that people are already trying to work around these systems. Mm-hmm. These are the problems you need to be looking at that are happening to them and see how these communities are dealing with the situation. Mm-hmm. There's moments where people are going to these food banks or doing like drives or working together at churches because a church, especially with churches, churches are such a big organizational thing, mm-hmm. especially for Black people. If like as a person who is Black, that they work together as their own food bank. They also feed people in the community. Mm. They are a community support. And so I think people need to understand that you don't need to start underestimating these people because they have systems of their own and they're being smart about it because they know that there has been a lack of trust. Mm-hmm. And there's been so much being done to disenfranchise their community. Mm, yeah. And so they work around it the best way they can. If there's one thing that I know about a Black community or a community of color is they know how to loophole the best way.
Yeah, make a way out of no way.
Mm-hmm. They make a way out of no way. So yeah,
with creative resilience and ingenuity.
And I think that is, as a white person listening to that, it just like, we have to, it's so stupid to say, it feels stupid saying it, but it's like, we have to fucking do better. Like what the fuck? Like, it should have never been that you had to find a loophole like that. Just it makes me like fucking angry. But I just don't understand. Like I don't
think
understand
it goes
why
back
people don't.
To we've all I seem to have as a collective society relatively forgotten that it's just been 1 year since what happened with George Floyd. And the whole time when all of that was happening, I feel like, and obviously I'm speaking out of turn because I'm not Black. I do have a Black husband, but I feel like no matter what that community did, don't kneel. Nope, don't do it like that. Don't protest. Not like that. Not like that. And this year they finally said, no, fuck that. This is how we're going to do this. And you're going to finally listen. And so I think it's just heartbreaking to hear that little piece of what we saw of the broken community over the last year is affected in so many other areas. And you're right. Like it is where, and we've talked about this before when we've done the Not So Basic Brunch Ask, which is where we get a little more serious. And the whole episode is kind of delving into a more serious topic and where we've talked about some of these things that it can't just be an uprising because of one person. It has to be that we have to collectively as a whole start to do better. Yeah. And it starts with these kind of conversations. Yeah. And I think that's why it's important and why we like to have these kind of topics on our podcast. Because this is fun. It's a fun podcast. Mm-hmm. Yes. But life is serious also sometimes, as well. Yeah, and there are times you have to step back and say, hey, here's something we understand that our friends are working on.
I understand.
And Siri doesn't understand either.
Siri does not understand.
Honey. Girl, she is lost.
Siri
said, teach me.
Yeah, she's like, I do not understand.
I don't get it.
We're not surprised, Siri.
I would like you to teach me about critical race theory. Thank you.
Like, oh, Siri, do you have like,
sorry,
5 months?
I'm off today.
And George, with the work that you do, your work is focused more in gentrification, which seems related to what Marcus was talking about. Like, I feel like those two are kind of linked together.
Oh, they're all
very, very linked.
It's all a system. All the system stuff is like linked in like a web. It's like linked in a web of oppression. And so like for the work that we do, it's like people ask like, what do you do? And it's like, well, okay. So like doing like anti-gentrification work or like historical / like community preservation work, you have to attack it from like multiple ends, especially because one, communities are multifaceted. Mm-hmm. And also like to sustain community, you know, part of it is preserving the history of that place that exists, which a lot of times is not documented in Black and Brown communities because obviously of like, you know, racism, slavery, blah, blah, we know. But also in a way, again, flipping it in terms of oppression, like oral history and passing down is like an ancient form of like history and like storytelling, which is more connected to like communities and people of color. So like, it's also preserving that because that is actually like a more rich ancestral, I would even again say abundant form of historical intergenerational communication and like passing down of history. Mm-hmm. That's like more complex than like the written documents, but it's actually more dynamic in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's through that and it's through housing, doing like really creative housing things to create affordable housing. And also at the same time, one of the things that economic development plans and things miss all the time, especially on the like state, municipality, even local level, local government level, is that yes, you can build community and like make the like have newer homes and things in the community, but you have to also preserve like the people who are there and the community that is there at the same time. And what's a lot of that, especially in Black and Brown communities, is through helping out with property taxes.
Yeah.
Because I watched the video that you did. I won't go into the whole thing, but Marcus had shared a video that you made recently.
Yeah.
So basically it was a video of, and I'm probably going to do a really poor job of explaining it, but very funny, by the way, in the way that you presented it and like, this is funny, but serious that here's the property tax of this house, or here's how much this is worth, not property tax,
property values,
property value. And then here's the one of this. And everyone that they presented was like the most illogical, like this bedroom has 16 houses.
Yeah.
And it's less, property value than this one that has four bedrooms.
Yeah.
And that's just not, that's not okay.
It just like it's like, I mean, yeah, because the video, like, it's a satirical video that is absurd because the situation is absurd.
And like, if you didn't know it was satirical, you would think it's a comical joke, but it's real life what's happening.
Yeah, it's like,
in this community.
Real life, it's like devastating and haunting and exasperating while also being like absurdly like hilarious.
Yeah.
But making that video for when we made it was like this incredibly cathartic experience because we were just like living in like this at that point, like a month of just like constant, like advocacy, constant, just like not understanding what is going on. Talks with also like, you know, county leaders and staff who are just like, well, this is how we do things.
Okay.
Like, this is how it happens. And we're like, well, but you need to explain why. And like, and it's also just when you explain that why it's, you know, inaccessible. But when you get down to the like, you know, bare bones of it all, when you strip away all of the like, blah, 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 it's inequitable and unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it doesn't make sense for a house that has 8 bedrooms that was built in 2011 that rents for $4,000 a month to have a lower property value than a house that was built in 1950, owned by a black family their entire life, has had no renovation over 20 years, and is on 0.5 acres of a lot, while this other house that was valued lower is on like 1.1 acre. Like,
you can't argue that.
You can't argue. The math doesn't math. It doesn't make any sense. Why are these land values so high? But also, I mean, I won't get into like the super details of it because it can get incredibly technical, which is why we made the video to sway away from the technical. But like the biggest point of it is that like the system that is set up, and specifically on the county level, also though mandated, or they say is mandated by state legislation, says that the process of evaluating
involves racism.
This is a byproduct of redlining. It's a byproduct of like, you know, for the neighborhood I work in, like, just like to take a quick like historical context about how this is like a symptom of that. Black and brown neighborhoods were redlined, and only black people couldn't get mortgages to live in other places. And then, you know, black people had to go to a certain place. And then also because of like the different municipalities like disinvested in those communities, which plummeted property values, which again, people were just like kind of not fine with, but people were like, well, we're like, we're just living our lives. We're doing our thing. We're in our budding community. And then like, you know, getting into like the early thousands, investors were realizing that they could buy these really low property values under the guise of also like, we're trying to better the community and clean up the neighborhood, but also like they were trying to make a buck and doing very predatory activity. And so they were able to buy these properties for lower than their actual market value, what the real value of these houses are worth. And then over time, when that's happening like on a massive scale, then the property values of that area increase. So then the long-term residents who are there, who have like paid off their homes, they're on fixed income because they're living in Social Security.
Can no longer afford their tax.
They can no longer afford it. They're paying 30, 40, 50% of their annual fixed income on property taxes.
And Amy and I were talking about this the other day because the neighborhood I live in is slowly changing. It's being gentrified. And we were just talking about it because I'm like, you actually can have both. You can have a cute park and you can let people still live in their fucking homes.
You can
always lived in.
Like, you can do
it's actually not hard.
It's not hard.
You just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Because you're all greedy or racist. Like or both. You can actually do both. You can have pretty flowers and sidewalks and let people who've lived in their homes for decades live in their homes.
And it's
homes.
Also like the value of the prettiest side. Like, what do we mean when we say like even pretty flowers and sidewalks?
Yeah.
Like black people
who
have a lot of them, either them or their ancestors or some or parents built their homes.
Yeah.
Take immense care of these homes.
Oh, yeah.
Over
my street is so cute. Like, I love my street.
I think he means like the city putting in parks.
Yeah. The city putting in parks. Yeah.
Because that's the other part of it that's always interesting. All of a sudden, when a neighborhood gentrifies, now we can have a good school.
Right.
Now we're going to invest money in.
Yeah, you can invest the money before.
Putting a really good school in here. It's not just the property tax and It's hard to afford living here. It's that this area that has asked for resources for so long, or didn't even ask because they knew that they would not be granted these resources, suddenly, within a moment, we're able to produce everything that that community should have had all along.
Exactly.
And it just is infuriating because it shows you again and again that it's a choice. It can be done.
It can be done.
And it's not being done.
And then going back to what we were saying, like, it's clearly a choice and it can be done because it wasn't being done before, which is why these communities, like our communities, had to make these different systems to exist and thrive, because it's like, you could have invested here. Yeah, you could have done that, but you chose not to. And because
and
you chose not to,
grand like, scheme of a things. Budget of a town, that's it's not a lot of money.
No,
these are pennies in a town's budget,
especially compared to the budget line for
and,
like. Police.
And I was just gonna say, and if you took a couple of those pennies from the police,
reallocate,
then all of a sudden, because on our street alone, like there's half of the street does have sidewalks, but the other half does not. Mm. And there are a couple families that I see them because I'm like a Gladys Kravitz and I watch out the window sometimes. and they
he means all the time.
and they walk or they'll walk to the bus stop and stuff like that. I'm like, they're walking, they're having
they
to walk
up.
In the mud, or they're having to walk on the road because there's no sidewalks. You couldn't build a sidewalk here, Durham. Like,
and it's just shitty because
this
it's like,
was too hard.
Like, it's not a priority. Like,
it's not a priority to them.
Exactly.
And it's,
right.
To me, I'm like, those are pennies. That is literal pennies to give somebody just a little bit of respect to be able to walk on a sidewalk. That is such that I just find that to be such a small thing.
I feel
thing.
Like you're hitting on is that I'm paraphrasing this and I might be paraphrasing it badly, but you know, James Baldwin's quote about like the worst thing for like America is apathy.
Yeah.
You know, because so much of it comes down to, and if we're dealing with this, you know, with the property valuation situation in the community I work in, where it's like, no, actually, like you are manifesting white supremacy because you're not taking the energy to actually be like, oh, this is a problem. Let's figure out the ways that we can make sure this is like not a problem. When you fall back under the like veil or like hide back under the veil of like institution and being like, this is how we've done things. Well, girl, that how you've done things is racist.
Yeah.
Like it's built into the system of racism.
Right.
So if you're not going to creatively and actively think outside that, you are fulfilling white supremacy.
Yeah.
And
that's
like a gap.
That.
That's 100%. A gap people like don't get, especially in these positions, governmental positions of power who actually have the ability to make the change, but they just like don't.
Just don't.
One of the things that I think a lot about within this and with housing, because this is affecting me and my family right now, because again, we have my grandmother's house. My grandmother passed away 2 years ago and my mom owns her house now. And we are going through the whole process of what do we do? And, you know, my mom was initially like, sell it. And at first I was like really hurt by it, but I had to realize that I can't put my mom in a difficult situation because the property taxes of the house is high. It's in a very nice neighborhood in Charlotte where it's being gentrified. And so it's just, you know, I had to have this like conversation with her and, you know, and that's why I was connecting with George about that to be like, what are some steps that my mom can do? But one of the things that I think about in all of this is how big it is with housing and how it affects so many things because like your house is your generational wealth.
Yeah.
Your house can be your generational wealth.
Mm-hmm.
This is our family's first bit of generational wealth. I came from on my mother's side, they were poor. Poor, as in my mother was sleeping in the same bed as her sister, and my uncles were sleeping on bunk beds with my great uncle, and then my great aunt with her daughter were sleeping in one bed, and then my grandparents slept in one bed in what was technically a two-bedroom house, but they turned the dining room into a bedroom. But, you know, they made it work. And I look back on it and it's like everything that I have cherished in that house and the memories and the stories are very important.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course.
And again, that is our generational wealth that Black people have not been able and even people of color have not been able to access. I think that's one thing that really upsets me when I hear somebody, especially when it's a white person who has white privilege and doesn't understand like, well, I don't understand like why you couldn't do this or this to keep the house or did you look at this or that or this? And it's just like, yeah, but not all of those have been for us.
Yeah.
And nobody has given us the opportunity or resources to get there. You know, with a lot of my cousins right now, we are the second generation to start actually making pretty decent income and supporting ourselves, but then still kind of supporting our parents mm-hmm. and still kind of supporting, you know, our grandparents.
It's that community right. aspect that, and I envy that, like with my husband's family, I'm like, they're just so close and you need it. You're right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't have to be like that.
Right.
It shouldn't have to be like that because of white privilege.
Yeah.
And we've talked about white privilege on this podcast before. It's not a new topic for us.
I just think that people just need to understand that folks of color, especially Black folks, are three steps behind. And it is because of the history of how this country has treated us.
But I think in the South, we're four steps behind. Yeah. I said to Adrian today, I said, I don't know if I want to live here anymore. Like, and that's what bothers me is that can we just in the South make that, can we get to the being the three steps behind, or are we just, we can't keep staying, not you guys, obviously us actually, we can't keep staying four steps behind.
Right.
We're already three steps behind in this country.
But it's that whole idea still of you can move and you can be in a better progressive situation, but you know, there's still always going to be those people who are behind who still can't make it out. And that's why it's so important for us to be advocating for everyone and advocating for a bigger population.
Yeah.
So that we don't have to look at the South. Because the South is, you know, it's so sad because I feel that way sometimes. I feel like, God, I fucking hate the South because of the crazy stuff that goes on. But I also realize that it's not a monolith of racism. There are people who are just trying to make it every day and just... Absolutely. Like, you know, and so I think that it's really just breaking down these concepts of white supremacy and having these tough conversations, having these tough realizations, having uncomfortable conversation and having uncomfortable realizations so that we can get to a better place.
And Joanne, if I'm sorry.
No, I'm good.
I thought you were on a roll. So I was like, I'm not trying to interrupt this flow.
No, you're good, girl.
Okay, cool. Yeah. To build off of that, it's also, at least what I feel like, building new systems. Like we cannot change what is happening right now unless we rebuild these systems because these systems were built over hundreds of years. Like the system we're in right now is a system built of white affirmative action.
If this is out of turn, you just tell me, but on the backs of Black people Americans.
Oh,
and
yes.
You know what I mean? So it's like,
you're only speaking the
truth.
You're
leaving out the part, you know, and I can acknowledge that. It's like,
but that's the thing. It's like, yeah, exactly. Like on the backs of slaves, like the foundation of this country is built on the backs of slaves. Right. Like the economics of this country is built on the backs of slaves. The system that we are living, the capitalist, white supremacist capitalist system that we live in, built on the backs of slaves. But I guess where I see the hope in it, in this situation.
Oh, you have hope. Okay.
Yeah, I do. Tell us about the hope. I didn't grow, I would not be still doing this. What?
Tell us about the hope.
I was like, because I have to go fix some problems. I'll be at the legislature.
Well,
the
hope. I have hope. I'm just kidding.
We have no choice. But the hope I have, and it's kind of, you know, it might be crazy, but the system that we're living in that disenfranchises people of color and communities of color was built by people and it was built over hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And there were steps and things that were put into place, legislation, acts with regarding housing, Jim Crow, all these things that we can go and we've all talked about and know of like how this system was literally like built like a house. Mm-hmm. So like my thing is like, okay, if we built this thing, we can tear down, and two, we can also rebuild things. And that's where like equity comes in because like, okay, what does it look like in a world? And this is something in my work that like is really hard, but like I fight against is that like, for instance, what if we know that like, for instance, Black and brown families have a harder time getting mortgages for homes. One of the reasons is because they have lower credit, but also the systemic racism. And so they've had generations of not access to gain wealth. So it's also harder for Black and brown people to get homes. What does it look like if lenders are aware of that? And some credit unions and things do this, but I think they can go farther. Lenders are aware of that. And they're like, you know what? Yes, your credit score is like a 550 or whatever. But I also have seen like the work you've put in. I've seen here. I know the historical context of this. And so I'm going to give you this loan, which, you know, on paper like might be looking like taking like a massive risk and might be something that is like a not financially responsible situation. But also if we're thinking from a point of equity, which is like, no, you need to give communities of color one loans, also larger loans because people are not starting from the same place. People are starting three steps behind. So you need to give them a loan or support that gets them from those three steps behind to where everybody else is. Absolutely. But people don't want to do that because it seems like favoritism. And it's because like, no, this is not favoritism.
Because they're greedy as well.
And like, yes, exactly. But then they put the veil of like, oh, that's favoritism. We don't want to favoritize people. And unfortunately, because of fair housing regulations, like you cannot make any decisions about a house based on somebody's like race, sexuality, and things like that, which that thing, you know, that housing act was made so that communities of color wouldn't be discriminated against. But actually right now it's having a situation. It's being used where it's like, no, that doesn't work in an equity mindset. Because in an equity mindset, we would actually be prioritizing Black and brown communities and giving them homes, because historically they have been disadvantaged and not been able to access this.
That's but until we
get to that point where we're actually like creating a new system and building it, and also acknowledging like, yeah, girls, this is going to take like hundreds of years to rebuild, but we need to keep moving.
Yeah,
and
like
it.
we keep it going over generation. Because, and I do think, and maybe this is where my hope comes in, but I do think we're on the cusp of that with our generation, where we're all kind of like, guys, we have to do this. We've got to get this train moving. We can't. It's been like stopped at the tracks for a long time.
But I think that's what gives me hope, is the generational change, because we forget how recently things were so much worse.
Exactly.
I heard a Chris Rock interview recently where he talked about racism growing up in his school, and he was one of the first Black children to go into what was previously an all-white school, and I think he was bused there, so it was one of like the deliberate desegregation things. And it took me so long to fathom that a comedian of our generation was part of desegregating a school. So right, that wasn't that long ago. Yeah. But in my mind, it feels like forever ago. So then I think about the progress of how far away that feels to me. And I think about how much farther away it's going to feel to the generation below us. And that's where I have hope, is that it's not enough progress. It's not fast enough. But we are not very many generations away from people just not even knowing or considering that something like that would ever be acceptable. But I think that hope only works if people take action, because hope's not enough, right? So it's hopeful if we do something and don't just sit there and go, things are better now, right?
Exactly.
No, they're not good enough.
Yeah. And like the thing also of like hope, like I've seen with my work, is like my work is on the neighborhood level. Like we work in three historically Black neighborhoods. And, you know, we've been able to really like hold the tide of gentrification through all of this work. It's very tiring and it's a lot, but like through all of this work, and to see it again, it's in a three neighborhood scale, but it's like, okay, if we can do this on like a three neighborhood scale, and like, what does it look like if other neighborhoods are doing this? Instead of going from like the top down, I mean, my philosophy is like, actually doesn't work to go from the top down of like legislation trickles down and creates this. It actually needs to be from the ground up. And my dream is to be like, how can this be happening, what I'm seeing in these neighborhoods, that takes, you know, a decade of more of work and like being in these streets and like working with community, being guided by community, doing this hard work. What does it look like if other, you know, hundreds of these communities around the country are doing that and actually creating a systemic change?
It's like you see neighborhood a map by neighborhood. Little lights lighting up, right?
And it just like, it just expands. And so that's also where I give me hope, because it's like, oh, this work can be done. The work that says people can't do it can be done. The scale of what I've seen it be done is on the neighborhood level. I don't know how you translate that onto like the larger like city level, like Charlotte. I don't know how you do that. Like, or it's maybe too far gone. But
like, I think Marcus is gonna do it.
I think, well, okay, George. Like small towns can do it. But no, I think
he's like, that's for the next generation.
In all actuality, I do have hope in that same sense for Charlotte. In Mecklenburg County, I just think it's going to take a very big leap of these voices starting. And I've seen initiatives happening within the food system and with housing happening in Charlotte. But I just think that it hasn't been amplified to the point that it has. And so it's worrisome. But my thing is, I guess for me, how I stay hopeful about a lot of these things like food system problems and gentrification that's happening and just systemic racism that is happening, these issues, is looking at my generation and seeing that people are starting to get it.
Yeah.
But then as well, the Gen Z, which is why I'm always like, do not sleep on them Gen Z. Like, I will be the first defend a Gen Z. I don't care, middle part, whatever.
Whatever they want to wear.
Like, wide leg jeans, you do you. Because you know, I don't know why. Because I've seen so many Gen Z adults now. They're adults.
They're adults now. Yeah, they're not babies anymore. They're adults.
They know what's going on. They're calling bullshit.
They're passionate about it.
And they're
in a way creative about it. I'm not sure that us and older have been as passionate.
No.
I think
they're brave. Yeah.
I think we have realized it and we've had these talks, but we've been like very
like
anxious about it. We're still in that.
Please don't get mad at me, Mom. I just want to talk to you about this thing.
Yeah. The millennials are a society of anxiety.
We are.
We just want to make sure everything is okay, but we also are upset at some things that are not okay.
Yeah.
But with the Gen Z, they
don't give a fuck.
They so are bold. Here to hurt feelings.
And they are all about
And they love hurting feelings. They're like, did I crush you? Oh, good. That was the intent.
Right. And
I'm accomplished.
And they have boundaries, so they're like, and don't bother me about it.
Oh, my God, they're boundaries.
Yeah, that's so good. Oh,
so good. I love it.
What happened to us?
Yeah,
we're learning what those are.
Yeah, we don't have any of that.
Which is why I'm also like, Gen Z, give millennials grace. We're doing our best.
We're trying.
We're really trying.
But I really am so proud of them because I've seen, you know, even having a conversation with my niece, she's about to graduate high school and go into college. But I've seen her have, she lives in Chicago and she's had conversations with me about the inequities happening in the Chicago public school system. Oh. And I'm sitting here just like,
yes,
girl.
That's work.
She's brilliant. Work. Honestly, she's brilliant.
Love work.
Love that.
I love her so much. I'm so proud of her.
Don't you have a podcast?
I do have a podcast. I don't with my cousin. Okay. Oh,
with your cousin.
We'll get to
let's make sure we circle back to
they
that.
They all have like a K name. So
I know. I'm like, okay. I got confused.
No,
okay.
But that's my little niece, but I'm
like, you said your niece. Sorry.
But like I said, I'm so proud of her generation. I'm so proud of this generation because I'm proud of our generation because we are openly taking those steps to acknowledge that these things are wrong. We're also taking care of ourselves, which is one important thing.
Yes. Great.
We're trying.
And that's all that we can do. But for Gen Z, they are really just like, nah, this system's fucked up.
This is some bullshit.
And if you're hurt about it, cry about it. I don't give a fuck. If it's my parents who are upset about it, guess what? I have a chosen family.
I feel like we're the generation of let me have that talk.
Yeah.
They're a generation of like, oh, I'm going to go do something.
Yeah.
And because I do
they walk.
Yeah. And I try really hard to walk. But I feel like a lot of times my things are like these little miniature things where I'm like, Mom, we're going to have this conversation and I need you to listen up.
Yeah.
I need you to change. Like, you can't sit in this idea that you've had your whole life. Things aren't good.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about it.
And I think that Gen Z is for our generation because that's what we can do. I mean, I've had some of the same conversations with my mom where she says things that I'm like,
we don't say that.
Yeah, and here's why we don't say that. And let me just show you the door if you don't understand why. Like, I'm obviously not literally, those are our little things, but Gen Z grew up in a different way and they're here and they're gonna say it.
They're here and they're queer, most of them. Yeah. They're a very queer generation. I love it.
Gen Z queer.
I will warn you, a lot of times when we get to the podcast, we say we're here and Travis says, and we're queer, and we have to tell him
no, just you.
This is not a Gen Z podcast.
Just you. He's excited because he finally gets to use it. So guys,
I'm aware.
We're queer.
Amy, back away. This is their moment.
Yeah.
But I was going to say also to that is that I think that part of that reason why we're trying to have these more peaceful conversations is because there's still that whole idea of like family.
Respect, and I'm required to respect you because of your age versus my age. And they don't have that. Gen Z is just like, I'm sorry, respect
is a two-way street.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I will, you know, you are my, you know, I've seen so many times where it's just like, especially with families, like, yes, you are my family member. Yes. And that is about it.
Yeah.
You know, like I will love you if you love me and you give me the respect and we work together on things.
Yeah.
But if we're not and you're going to be who you are and you're not going to change for the better,
then bye.
I don't need you.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's so easy for them to just be like, well, F this, if you're not going to take this at face value, we're more like, Listen,
I just wanted to talk to you about this.
Like, you're being racist.
Yeah.
And, like, I love you, but you're being racist.
Yeah.
Gen Z has that energy of, like, I remember growing up and, like, I would, like, do something bad. My mom would be like, you can't do this. And I'm like, why can't I do that? And she's like, because I said so. And I was like, the response, but, like, the culture was like, you didn't say.
But
I never asked why.
I didn't.
Right. But internally, I was like, I have many follow-up questions.
The reason.
But I feel like Gen Z is...
the reason.
Why. Yeah. They ask why. Like, can you give me like a PowerPoint presentation about like why I can't do this? Right. Like, why? Yeah.
Which
like,
is actually, I just think is the better way to be because, and I strive to be that way in my
Travis
everyday life.
Oh, Travis wants to be Gen Z now?
No, I just strive to ask why.
Just because he listens to driver's license.
No, I can't help it. I just
no, it's not driver's license. It's that damn song, Good for You.
I am listening to that song.
There will be no Olivia Rodrigo slander in this household.
It's so good.
No, we won't slander here, but I didn't know. And then I listened
and I did
to
not
a song
want
the other
to
day.
Like her because
it was an accident.
I was like, I'm an old person and I've had my driver's license for 18 years.
I literally cannot relate to this. I wasn't driving by my boyfriend's house or whatever the fuck is going on. I listened to Starbucks before I go to school.
Or like George said, the grocery store because. Probably because your mom saying
so
your
mom made you go get
oh, you can drive now. Go get me the groceries.
Yes, go get those things.
I can't relate to like, you know, like think about the memories of like my boyfriend as I'm driving to his house. I'm more like, so what are my friends and me going to get into like this afternoon?
Yeah.
Like,
what are we going to go do?
I got my
do?
Car. What are we going to do?
Which is
does
just
everyone
drive,
have
just
$5 for gas?
Just drive around. Maybe go to McDonald's.
Yeah, McDonald's. I was going to say McDonald's. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Also, or the mall and not buy anything.
Not buy a damn thing.
Also, I need $1 for gas from everyone.
Yes. From everyone. If
cash,
you're getting in
cash,
this car,
still use cash in this car.
Where are all the quarters at the bottom of this car? Because I have
but
to get $2
of gas.
$1.
Yes. They'll be like, here's a dollar.
Here's a dollar.
This is what I have. Well, I've had a lot of fun chatting. I think there's a lot of good stuff from this. And one of the things I'd love to be able to do, hopefully, is like just in our like post about this, like put a couple links to like some different things. Like I'd love to be able to like link to your video and things like that. And like if you've got any resources, Marcus, I think those would be really great just so that people can like do some follow up and do some research.
Yeah.
And we can set them on the right path and then let them do their learning from there.
And if they don't, we'll buy them.
Listeners, get out there and be Gen Zers.
We'll tell you
be
what
Gen Z.
Buy means later.
Yes, yes.
Yell at your parents.
Before we go, what is the name of your podcast, Marcus?
Oh, my podcast? So me and my cousins do a podcast together.
What's a black cast?
A black cast?
I think that works. That's marketing.
Yeah. About like,
I was like, why is he changing it?
That's marketing.
That is marketing. It's a black cast.
Listen, guys. I don't do marketing.
We're helping you.
Okay, but we're going to help you out.
This is like your workshop table.
Yeah, we're workshopping.
We're going to do icebreakers later. Yeah.
After 4 hours together.
Yeah.
What's your favorite color?
Yeah.
It's yellow. Anyway. So me and my cousins, we all do a podcast about us being raised.
He's like, a podcast.
What's it called? A black cat.
Thank you for being a cuz. It's based off of
CUZ. Okay.
It's also based upon because we are big Golden Girls.
Fans. I was just gonna say Golden Girls.
We tried to make our picture like brunch where I was like we wanted to do like something where we're like gather around the table like having
you,
fun.
Please stay a little bit out of our realm. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow, the girls are fighting.
Please don't have a brunch cast.
A lunch podcast.
Yeah. Well, you can have a lunch
first.
We love that you have a dinner cast.
Okay. Now back to the equality conversation. You can do brunch as well. Actually, we can both do brunch. I'm sorry about
that. Stop co-opting brunch.
How that went. We just gingerbread
brunch.
Into this. I'm really sorry.
We just talk about equity and brunch.
It's okay. It's more like.
I'm sorry.
Please. It's more like actually just like we just get together. It just so happened that day we were doing a brunch with and our other cousin was like taking pictures.
Marcus, it's acceptable. Please don't explain. Okay. Be like,
come for her. Be Gen Z. Be Gen Z, Marcus. Come for her.
I can't. I just don't have it.
Okay, what you need to be is like, bitch, I have a black cast. It's with me and my cousin. It's based off of the Golden Girls. Yeah. And listen to it.
Do you want me to get tipsy and go to the bar and promote you? Because I will.
You know what? Do it.
Okay.
Yeah. She'll do it.
I guess that's
do you know that's black cast? That's the best.
Oh my God.
You'll love it.
What are you talking about?
Wait, I forgot. I've always wanted to say this because we've never said this. But yes, you can check out our podcast at Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or any other places that may have it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't say it, you know.
That sounded nice. That sounded nice.
Well, I feel like we have to definitely do this again sometime.
Yes. Yeah.
So we can get into all of the brunchy brunch stories. Mm-hmm. But thank you for coming on.
Yes,
we
really thank appreciate you.
It. Thank you for having us. It was the best.
Brunching with us.
Yes.
Thank you.
Bye.
And we'll see everybody next week.
Thank you for having brunch with us today. Please follow wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at Basic Brunchcast, or our website, basicbrunchcast.com, or check out our merchandise store, basicbrunchcast.threadless.com. Cheers, Basics, and let's brunch again soon. This has been a Popjoy Media production.